and yes, I think it's Pulitzer, and World Traveler, who just came back from a life-changing trip that was so, so amazing that I just had to have you on. Welcome, Stephen. How are you?
Cool. Everything's good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you on. I remember when you started talking last summer, I think, about this trip you were going to do to go to Luxembourg to do this fantastic piece. And it seemed like it was such a huge idea. But then again, if anyone knows Stephen Melillo, you will know that he always does these huge projects and huge ideas. And where some people try to cut back and simplify, I think, in my opinion, from having worked with Stephen on a few projects, somehow he takes it over the top each time, to the point where you're going, how in the world are you going to do that? And he does. And he did it just recently with the Luxembourg Military Band premiere of Concerto for Marimba and Band. And it was quite amazing to see this whole beautiful process go down. And not only was it a fantastic concert, but it was also recorded. And if any of you know what it's like to try to mic and record a how many piece orchestra was that? Band was that?
I think it's about 60 pieces total.
Yeah, so that takes a bit of work there too. And Stephen, you sent me, I just loved the introduction. Who was the lady that did the introduction to you that I'm going to be reading here?
She was one of the trumpet players.
Ah.
And she came out in uniform and started the concert off, and she was speaking in, I think it was Luxembourgese, because they actually speak three different languages, right? They speak French, German, and then Luxembourgese. Whatever language she was speaking, I didn't understand a word of it, but it was funny.
So you didn't know what she was saying when she did this introduction?
No.
Oh, wow. It must have blown your mind. Okay, so this is the translated version of what she said. She said, at the head of the military band this evening is not, as usual, one of our chiefs, but the American composer and conductor Stephen Melillo. Melillo's over 1,000 works can be found in film, on TV, music, Nintendo, Sega, IBM, and many more places like Spotify. But who is the person, Melillo, with whom the military band has been working for the last few days? All I can tell you is that this man is electrifying. It's a whole package of great musical knowledge and enormous physical power that is counteracted by the loving gentleness. It feels like the caress of a gentle feather. And then again, you are surprised by the powerful dynamic, but above all, tireless passion. There is a nice quote, only those who burn themselves can ignite fire in others. I can assure you, Stephen Melillo is not a match, not a lighter, but a flamethrower. You can now look forward to a concert with Stephen Melillo, a man in whose veins there is no blood flowing, but rather seething, glowing, heated, boiling lava. I think it's probably good you did not hear that, because you would have probably, I don't know what you would have been able to handle it without kind of going, wow.
I probably would have laughed.
Yeah.
So when she was done, I took the microphone and I said, I didn't know a word that she said, but to the audience, I said, I don't know a word that she said. I didn't take it. But I know from the music of what she said, it must have been good.
Yeah.
And then all the musicians started nodding their head and smiling. Yeah, it was good. It was good. And Cindy, guess what? This was the first concert. Yes, this was a first. So we were doing all these premieres. Many of these pieces were world premieres. And something unique happened, and that is that I was going to present in concert for the first time in my life. So you gotta put that in perspective. I'm talking about 50 years of conducting concerts. What happened in Luxembourg was a first. We were going to do a complete Stormworks chapter. And I decided to take your advice, which you always said to me, don't just play the music, talk about it. I took the microphone and I told the audience, I'm going to do something different tonight, and I'm going to explain this to you. We're going to play a Stormworks chapter. What the heck does that mean, a chapter? And so then I went on to explain that each piece should be considered a paragraph in that chapter. Mm. That they're not separate pieces that are unrelated to each other, but they're all parts of a gigantic statement. So 101 minutes of music divided up into its 20 paragraphs or 20 pieces is actually all telling one big story. And then, of course, the chapters, all the Stormworks chapters, they line up to be a novel, you know, which is pretty massive by the time you get to the end of it. So the audience was thrilled to death that I did this, to the point where we made a live recording and we decided that we're going to make the Stormworks album, Stormworks Chapter 89, Worlds Within the World, a live in concert recording, which is another first because we'd never done that before.
Yeah.
But the audience was so, they were so thrilled by this explanation of what was happening and the invitation to partake, not as passive listeners, but as engaged collaborators.
Mm.
You know, I would say we're going to play a piece called The Lost Souls of Heaven. And I explained what that was from my perspective, but then I said, but who is it that you miss? And who are the souls that you look forward to being with again one day? And if you're an atheist, I even threw that in there. I said, look, who do you miss? And think as we enter this music, it provides a bed for you of thought, for you to reflect on your own self and the people that you miss. And the whole concert was like that. Like every piece was an introduction to the idea. And then, of course, they were able to see the total connection. We start with a piece called The Souls of Heaven, which starts with a Navajo drum playing boom, 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 boom. And then we get to the very last piece, which is the last movement of the piece I wrote for Beethoven called I Hear Now in Heaven. And how does that start? Boom, 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 boom. And it's the same rhythm that's in the Beethoven 7th Symphony. And by means of just that one thing, I showed everybody in the audience the massive arc that was following this 101-minute journey. So everybody had a great, great time.
I am so glad. I am so glad you incorporated that. Of course, I think that might tie in to the fact that you just completed these amazing audiobooks from this lifetime work of yours. It's like this crazy, insane amount of work that you did to put out the three books republished of Ahab. And of course, also the book you did when you were young that you put out again. And you did a beautiful job with the audio. And again, over the top, when you spoke, you actually created more music because as you were talking, You got ideas. And I saw on Facebook that you had to spend, like, I don't know who booked the trip with an 11-hour layover, I guess in Switzerland, that you had to do?
Well, that was a compensation for a strike that happened with Lufthansa. So, yeah, that wasn't anybody's fault. That was just, like, something that had to happen as a compensation for the strike. I didn't mind.
Yeah. Well, but then you got in, and I saw this amazing, I wonder if I can play it here. You got in, and it was after that whole long layover, and without taking even a break much, you went in and did some work with the whole band there and started rehearsing with them right off the bat.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No waste of time.
No, and it sounded so beautiful. I mean, I think of Luxembourg, I think I may have been there once, but I think of Luxembourg as being fairly conservative. And of course, you're dealing with a band here as well. So here you are coming in full force. This is a little bit of what you were doing. The first read of A Soul of Heaven. So you were getting a sense of them. Ah, it was amazing. And they jumped right in, and you jumped right in, and you could kind of tell right off. There's this musical connection that happens, right?
There really was, and by the time everything was done, and that's another reason why we decided to do a live concert recording, by the time we had just spent, I don't know, two days, and then the concert day, by the time we'd gotten to, what's that? Uh-oh.
What's what?
Are you still on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Hello. I can hear you. Can you hear me? I think you might have been in a bad area, but I can hear you fine. But right now you're not talking. So I'm going to talk a little bit, and maybe you will get in an area where you can hear again. Even though a lot of this work is called Storm Works, when you go to Stephen's site, you want to go to Storm World. It's stormworld.com. And it's at Storm World, you go there, you will be able to see a lot of amazing things that happen. Oh, he's calling in there. Well, hi there.
Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here now. I was just talking
about that dead time with cool stuff.
I was just talking about the fact that you're at stormworld.com and that you offered an amazing piece that you created there, but that's kind of jumping ahead of the game. You had probably never been to Luxembourg before, had you?
Well, you see, okay, but there's such an interesting thing about this whole Luxembourg thing. So in 2003, which was the same year that our house was destroyed by Hurricane Isabel, a film director was making a film called Retrograde, which starred Dolph Lundgren, in Luxembourg. So in a destroyed house, I was composing the film, the film score. I wrote 81 minutes and 18 seconds. Of course, I had to do that because it's a retrograde score, right? And I sent it to Luxembourg, and that's where they mixed it and everything like that. Well, while he was there, the film director, Christopher Kulikowski, visited the American military cemetery and came upon the grave site of Dominic H. Melillo Jr.
Oh, wow.
I kept that picture all this time.
Oh.
Now all these years go by. So that's 2003, and now it's 2024, right? 21 years later, and I tell Lieutenant Colonel John Claude Brown that we have to go visit. We have to make a pilgrimage to this cemetery and see if we can find that grave site and pay homage. So that's what happened. So this whole Luxembourg trip had this in the front of it, but it also ended that way.
Wow.
Where after the concert and after we did the recordings, we went to the cemetery, and it was a life-changing experience. I don't know how to condense it for your audience, except that when we went there, the museum curator said, "Hey, let me just find whatever I can on your great uncle, Dominic H. Melillo." Well, she came back with all these photographs and all these pictures of his yearbook when he was in high school, and on and on. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I saw a guy that looked like one of my sons
and looked like you.
Yeah, I mean he looks like a Melillo for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And you know, I all of a sudden I told the colonel. I said, you know, this guy, I can't think of him as my uncle anymore. I have to think of him as my son, as my long lost son. And I realized, you know, his life was gone. You know, he never got to marry. He never got to have children. He was 18 years old in that photograph, and at age 20, he was killed. And interestingly enough, he was killed in the same district of Luxembourg where the concert was.
Oh my
gosh.
Now,
none of this could possibly have been planned, except that, as you and I both know, God orchestrates things.
Yeah.
And so I visited that cemetery, but I also visited the German cemetery and just felt this enormous pang of obligation that these people never be forgotten. So I think what's interesting for me, I don't know if this is explainable or not, is that in that music, even before knowing it, is this kid, Dominic Malilla. Uh-huh. And in that music, before even knowing it, are all those soldiers on both sides who were lost and who never got to live full lives. It's in that music. It's in the story of the music. And having it, what's the word I'm looking for? Verified.
Yeah.
Afterwards, vindicated in a way. It was like, oh, that's why I had to write it. That's why it's written. And so that's what I'm looking forward to, releasing this. And then people having some insight. And I'm going to use the Cindy method, which is I'm actually going to release each piece, each paragraph, with an explanation.
I think, I kind of can't help but think of when I would go to opera when I was a child. My mother would take me to opera. And, I mean, I'd be 6, 7 years old. I had no idea. You know, I mean, I loved the costumes, I loved the color, and you could tell there's, but I never really knew, right, what was going on, you know. And then I'd try to sing the parts later, you know, and my mother said, that part really isn't for you, Cindy. You know, I'd be singing Sansons, the temptation of, right? And I'd be doing the Sansons song where she's tempting is it St. John or... Anyway, it was just because I love the passion of opera, but I didn't know the story. And when you, and I'm so glad that you brought up to the audience that you think of it like a chapter and engage them, because as you do that, there is this magic that happens. And I'm thinking here of how that orchestra that was so beautiful, I mean, I looked at how perfectly every chair and every person and every setup on that stage was. And where was that? It was so beautiful, the setup alone in that concert hall.
Yeah, it's not the normal setup that I would prefer for a recording, but we made do. See, we had a woman come up in the break, the halftime, I call it, and she was just beside herself. She's a magazine writer, and she wanted to do an article. And she said, I felt like I was standing on top of the world with my arms open, and I could see the entire world.
Wow.
And all I could think to myself was, well, wait till you hear the second half. she said, I love that you're telling us what the music is about. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not telling you what the music is about.
Yeah.
And see, this is a key thing. I'm telling you what my frame of mind was before I wrote the music.
Uh-huh.
If I could somehow tell you what the music was about, I wouldn't need to write the music. The music is something different. It's the next step where the words stop. So I'm just telling you what was my frame of mind.
Uh-huh.
But you see, when I tell you my frame of mind, what I'm really trying to do is invite you in your frame of mind to join in and fill in the blanks. What do you pray for? You know, we played the piece of Requiem of Two Poems, which was played by Ukrainian soldiers before they went into battle. And I said, can you imagine Ukrainian soldiers listening to this music and praying? What were they thinking?
Mm.
And then I said, but what do you think when you hear this music? What do you pray about? You're not obviously praying for the same things. Maybe you pray for their welfare. Maybe you pray for the end of all war. You see, because that's the beauty of music. It isn't about something. It's an open slate. It's a mirror, and you can see yourself in that mirror. So I was very adamant about telling her, when you do the article, express it that way.
Mm.
That I'm not standing up here and telling you, this is what this music's about. No, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the setup for why it's written. But now you have to enter that world and be a collaborator and listen and apply your heart as if you're the composer.
And you know that universal language. You do not even have to speak the language, and the music is that universal language. You never really could have created that in any language of, I didn't even ever heard of the word before, Luxembourgian or the language that they use. It goes beyond that, and it goes beyond the language of Germany or any kind of thing, because it is actually the language that could be used, and sometimes people are trying to use now when you even reach into the cosmos, you know. It could be a language another being in another whole world could listen to, you know, and know more than trying to put a few words out there. So I think it's really precious and it's very special. And, you know, you can take all kinds of trips and travels, but when you're in a situation like you were, where you're working one-on-one with these beautiful musicians who are looking forward to working with you and giving their heart and soul to the way you were doing. And it was not an easy piece, right? It was a pretty demanding piece of work.
Well, all of it together, right, is about 101 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, I just was editing the pre-recorded tracks into what we recorded in Luxembourg for the piece called The New Beginning that I wrote for MIT during the pandemic and to be rendered in a quarantined environment.
Uh-huh.
And I told the audience, I said, you know, there was a trend during that time when people would write easier music,
yeah,
right? And the idea was, you know, you'd have it on the Zooms and you'd work with the kids. And so when I met with the MIT kids for the first time, I said, well, you're MIT people. You're the future of technology.
Yeah.
So guess what? We're going to write something really difficult. We're going to write something that can only be done in a quarantined environment using the technology.
Hmm.
So that piece, so I told the audience that and they chuckled. And there is a way to do all of this live. I deconflicted that. So that it is easy to do live. But the way we did it with the MIT people, I mean, you know, I had a girl that told me, hey, I love the alto clarinet, but, you know, I never get to play it. So I wrote her a 5-part alto clarinet part where she got to overdub herself 5 times and create all of these colors and sounds that we don't normally hear. Now, in the live concert version that we're going to get on the record, I did it a different way, but the concepts are all the same.
Yet you wrote a piece for your experience, which just beautifully captures some photos of people. Go to your Facebook site, Stephen Melillo. I think it's Stephen L. Melillo, if they find that. You did this, you had a photographer capture you. You're walking through all the graveyard.
Yeah.
You see all of those white crosses as far as you can see. You know, and then you reach your uncle, and there's a moment where you and it's all the white background, a kind of snowy background. I don't know if there was snow, but it was a white background, and you're there in your black long jacket and just connecting in spirit with your uncle. Classic. And then you wrote a piece for, I think, I don't know if it's all going to be clarinet, but it was the one you worked on is clarinet.
You see, it's so funny how things happen, right? So I asked the colonel, I said, you must have a photographer assigned to you, a professional photographer. It turned out that he's the bass clarinet player, Eric Engel. So I said, can you have Eric come with us? Because I don't want to blow this. I don't want to have great moments captured on an iPhone. I don't want that. I want a great photographer. This guy came along. He was just fantastic. And he followed us. He got in front of us. He did whatever he felt he had to do. He's a bass clarinet player. And then he said, you know, on our Memorial Days, we play a clarinet quartet, 3 clarinets and bass clarinet, in this building.
Huh.
And we play it. They do 3 Memorial Days. You know, we do 1. They do 3.
Huh.
And so he said it would be great to have a piece from someone who has a relative in the cemetery. And I said, consider it done.
Yeah.
And when I got home, I didn't even unpack. I just wrote a piece. And, you know, these aren't just words. I mean, these are from the grave. In you, I live again. If you're that kid's going to live again.
Mm-hmm.
That poor Dominic Melillo, who was robbed of his life, he's going to live again through me. I'm going to remember him every day of my life. And I'm going to make sure that he's treated like one of my sons. And so that was the first act of obligation and love, was to write that piece. And I sent it to them. And now the colonel's going to give it to the U.S. ambassador as a gift.
Wow.
When he comes to their Memorial Day.
Wow. That's,
you know, it's
amazing.
Not all about that. It's not all about prestige and gifts to U.S. ambassadors. It's not about that. It's about the boy.
Yeah.
Those boys in those graves. Just, God, just breaks your heart.
And I hate to admit that I did not even realize there was a battle that was that intense that happened in Luxembourg. And I don't think a lot of attention had been focused, as far as I know, about any of the battles that happened in Luxembourg. So, you know, it makes me realize, you know, it's like, wow, why did we ever not become more aware of that? You know, I certainly was aware of other places. We know about all the battles in France and in Germany and Italy and Russia, but I had never heard of Luxembourg before. So, I mean, this is a different kind of travel. When you're going there and touching people's souls, you know, and heart and soul connecting with so many amazing people in that way, it's a legacy that has now happened, and it's going to live on. And I just have to thank you so very much. And, you know, all of your work inspires me. It always has. And I feel very honored to know you and have had work with you. But if people do know you, they know that you give more than 100%. You had leather bound created, I don't know how much it even cost, but they were leather-bound pieces for the people to read. Was that just for the conductor, you, or for other people as well?
No. The leather-bound scores that I did were for friends of mine that I knew would really appreciate it and their gifts.
Wow. Yeah, that was very, very, very powerful. I know you tried to do a kind of a fund me thing and didn't reach your goal, but you know that didn't stop you. You knew you were going to do it. You knew you had a mission, and you accomplished it. So it's a beautiful thing to see when a creation and an idea surpasses what you might even think of when it starts to create, especially when it creates a circle the way this one did. So I think it's just beautiful and wonderful. I can't wait to hear the whole thing. I know it's going to be very, very powerful. And I know you have a lot of other works you've done. I can't believe the volume of works you've done, actually. But if
neither can I.
if you go to stormworld.com, there's so much there. There's really so much there. You can not only listen to pieces, you can see more information about what we were just talking about, but you can also you see the volume of work that you have there at that one site.
Yeah, on the tracks. You go stormworld.com/tracks. Those are the recorded albums. So this one will be the 53rd album.
Wow.
And I distinguish by not saying 66 CDs, because the albums, some of them are 3 CDs long.
That's right.
So yeah, this will be the 53rd album.
Well, I just thank you for it, and I'm so glad we got a chance to talk about this trip, and because I know how important and an amazing impression that was created by the people who were there, and how the gift was to them, and that it's a gift that will continue because now it is recorded, and you'll be able to have other people listen to it and feel that same energy as they actually put their own life story into what they hear in the music, and so it's a very beautiful, wonderful thing. And I always appreciate what you're doing. You know, we talk a lot about music when we have a chance to talk, all kinds of different music. But, you know, if people always go back to what is really important to them and their priorities of what they're doing and the reason they're doing their creations of music, I think then that always will, somehow that intention will live on and come back. And I know that's what I've learned a lot of times from you, because you always give every project more than 100%, and that's powerful, because it's not easy. It's not an easy thing. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy. It takes money. And then you get to the point where you're going, well, how do I even promote this, right? It's like, I don't
right.
know. How do you? How do you even begin, you know? But, you know, it somehow reaches enough people that love it and appreciate it. That I think it does somehow go beyond what the money might happen. I hope it always comes back to you, because you certainly deserve it. No doubt about that. No doubt at all about that. And I don't know, what's the next project?
Well, there's a lot of things, but like the next Stormwork CD is scheduled for Norway in 2025.
And
that's going to have my Fifth Symphony on it and probably a lot of the pieces that, you know, I'm still writing now.
Wow. So that's another big, big thing coming up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot, and I don't like to think about it too much. And somebody made the mistake one time of asking me, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, people do, what are you doing? What are you doing right now? And I'm like, don't ask, because that'll, then I have to add something to the list, right? Well, one time I answered a guy. What a big mistake that was. I made a list of everything that I was doing so I could properly answer him, and it was a list of 72 different things.
I know, and I know you say you'll say, so if someone wants to work with you, you say, well, you know, I don't really, you know, I'm doing all these other things right now, and then maybe they'll go on talking, and you just stop everything, and you complete it in a day or something, what was asked of you, and it's all done better than you can imagine. So that's that creative spirit that really works, truly works wonders.